section 72-16 through 72-28, and article chapter 115, articles 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, sections 115-20, 25, 29, 34, 37, 42, 45, 50, 53, and 58, regarding affordably priced rental housing units, rental units, and the Sussex County Rental Unit SCRP program. This is to announce the receipt of additional written comments.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, we received no additional comments. The Commission may remember this from the April 28th and May 12th public hearings. There have been no additional written comments received from members of the public, although staff would like to note that there is an additional document before you that is submitted to the record. As part of the Commission's discussion at the previous public hearing at the last meeting, there was a request to show the parcel distribution in acres in terms of a breakdown.
Yes.
So before Commission, on your tables in front of you is a written report showing how those 2,521 parcels are broken down in terms of their parcel size. As you can see, the majority of them are under 1 acre, 1,910, which is approximately 75% of all the parcels available are less than 1 acre. And there's nothing in this ordinance that would stop those parcels being consolidated and coming forward. However, if you look at the larger parcels, i.e. those that are within 10 to 50 acres in size, there's 76, which is about 3% of the total. But then if you look at those 50 to 100, there are 12 parcels available that meet that size threshold, and there are 10 that are greater than 100. So as to the question about how many parcels that would be over 10 acres that would potentially benefit, that's approximately 100, but then there's 2,520 approximately parcels that would benefit from the ordinance in terms of its location and design requirements. I don't know if that's helpful, but we put it in a table and that's entered into the public record. So
thank you.
On the screen. I can announce, Mr. Chairman, as well, I don't have a copy of it on the screens to show you, but we've also, going back to that original public hearing on April 28th, where we showed those conceptual site plans with the 10-acre model and the larger model, a question had arisen as to the car parking layout and fire marshal requirements in terms of a walkway around the buildings and whether that affects the setbacks. Staff have been working with AECOM on a design for that, and we actually, as of this week, have received the initial draft of a fully engineered design. So we asked them to design it as you were proposing an application using the same design parameters. I can confirm that has come back, and that drawing has not yet been finalized. I have seen a draft of it. It does show that the setbacks are still achievable with a fully engineered design. Staff's intention with that is that when this progresses forward to County Council is to have that final drawing ready for County Council should we get into site-specific design questions. So, okay. Thank you.
So make a motion to close the record.
So is that, you know, the business before us this evening is just simply to announce that we've received the comments, yeah. Records closed, and defer until another time?
Yeah, this next meeting, right.
Well, so if you add, and we don't have this up on the screen?
I don't have it electronic.
I think we definitely want it for the record and for those people that are looking on.
Well, it's part of the record. So, I mean, it is whether we get it.
How would they see this?
So we can, if the Commission chooses not to act on it today, we can upload it to the online paperless packet for this evening's meeting so that it's publicly accessible and viewable.
It might be wise to defer action to allow the public at least the opportunity to see this. And so
yeah, I just thought those who are, how hard is it to put it on the screen?
If Mrs. Lepore moves as quickly as I think she's going to move, perhaps a minute or two.
Okay. So basically, it looks like if we start out, even if you take 10 acres and greater, then it's the aggregate of 76 at 10 acres, 10 to 50, 50 to 100 is 12, and 100 greater than 100 is 10. 76, 86, 96, 98. So there's 98 possible if the 10 acres and greater, and if we go 5 acres and greater, you add another 73. So that's what, about 170 or something?
Yeah, and what's, and I think too, as I'm looking at this, the percentage in the right-hand column is the percentage of the parcels, not the percentage of the acreage, you know?
Right, percentage of part, yeah. So in other words, yeah. So basically, okay, so if we look at the percentages, then that's 3, 6, not quite 7% of the total.
The total number of parcels, but it's probably a lot higher of the total acreage.
So that's, so if you take, but if we just stick with parcels, would we say 170, greater than 5 acres?
Yeah.
About 170. So 170 is the, now by putting these other sizes in, are we, I guess it would be good if we just kind of work the math just a little bit and you know, how many units are we going to get on those little pieces that aren't part of 170 parcels?
Well, we know roughly on the 10-acre ones what we can get based on the exercise that AECOM did. So that was, what was it?
120.
Yeah, because you knew you could get the 12 design.
So if you're an investor realtor, or even, you know, like us, if we're looking out over a, you know, over a potential market, and there's 170 possibilities, what's the likelihood, what's the percentage of being able to put a deal together? Everybody's not just going to be, everybody's not necessarily going to sell. Some people, don't want to sell property. So.
But that's always a question. Oh, yeah, you know, that's on every rezoning, every subdivision, every everything that we deal with.
We're basically putting our stock in. The objective here is to try to fix the workplace housing problem.
I think it's going to continue to be a work in progress, because I don't think we're going to be able to fix it all. We can address what we see the problems are in front of us, and try to address them and make and enhance what they're already doing, which I think Mr. Whitehouse and his staff has been doing a good job with that. We're not going to fix it. It's not going to be the end all, in my opinion.
As we've said, this is one piece of the big puzzle. There are going to be others. We really can't, you can't force them to do it. You can't force somebody to sell their land. You can't force somebody to develop it. But we're providing some excellent incentives for them to do that. And that's what I think is really really important with this. This is a good first step, but it's just the first.
Are you getting that on the screen?
Sure.
All right.
There you go.
There we go.
And Mr. Robbins, did you want to put it on the online packet too?
Oh yeah, no, well definitely. I mean, I think that this is a very important piece of whether or not how much potential this whole ordinance amendment has. I mean, if you can't secure some of that 170 parcels, it's not going to be very successful. I mean, Mr. Chairman, we can do better than this. You know,
what's the better? I guess that's the question.
I think that in 2.5 years, we don't even have anything for home ownership yet. When do we think?
Why would we hold this up to deal with home ownership? That's been the plan the whole time, is to deal with rental first, because we've gotten, one under our belt, and we want to improve it, make it better, and then move to home ownership. The two of those aren't locked together. You said it's 2.5 years, but it sounds like what you're saying is we should delay it even further. I don't. That seems inconsistent to me.
Yeah. Well, I think that this I think the main thing this is going to, this particular ordinance is going to do is fill the pockets of a few.
Well, here's the concern, and I remember Mr. Ross talked about this when he was chairman of this commission and a commissioner, is, you know, we have seen multifamily projects come in where there's not been any affordable housing component of them, you know? And so in this case, and they've been approved. You know, we had one fairly recently that came in. I don't want to speak about it because I think it's still in front of county council, I'm not sure. But there wasn't any affordable housing component in that at all, you know? So in that case, you know, developers doing what developers rightfully do. You know, they've got a business model and an economic model and they're building out their development. But Sussex County and its residents aren't getting anything in return. If we do this, based on that LSA model, the developers are looking at the economic and business models of their development, making sure it can work, and then also at the same time, Sussex County and its residents are getting a benefit because we, you know, essentially, they're getting density, we're guaranteed that there's affordable housing, so, you know.
Can we tie it into the maps on the comprehensive plan rather than have it be a moving target? And
it is. It's in the coastal area, town center, and developing area under the maps.
I want it more specific, actually, that, you know, closer into, just because I know we're looking to try to do it with where there's bus stops, but just not a lot of people riding.
Well, I don't think we've addressed that yet.
Well, I mean,
you're
yeah,
right.
It's
right.
So it's,
that, I mean, that there was that, there was also setbacks, and then there was percentage of open space with all things that we wanted to visit when we make a motion, I think. So yeah, I mean, to limit it to the, I guess that would be my question about the way the table was generated. Are all those the parcels that are on the route, or are those parcels that are just the parcels in that size distribution, right?
So the methodology, which I read out at the last commission meeting, I could read it again. Basically, it's based on location, proximity to transit, whether it's in a developing area, and parcel size.
Okay, so the proximity to transit piece of that, was that defined as on the DART bus route or simply proximity to transit?
Because the ordinance says it has to be half a mile from the DART transit location.
Okay, so and that's what was used to generate this. So it's at least possible that if that gets amended to say on the route or a planned route or something, then you would potentially broaden the number of parcels that would be available for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that was one of the suggestions that came in.
That was a concern of mine, was that to limit it to just where the routes are now, I think you have to consider expanding that to include routes that are contemplated or can be negotiated. In other words, if you can get DART to agree to serve your site, I think that should be an option because that provides more flexibility. I think it helps address the issue that Mr. Hopkins is concerned about, I think it would help, and it would probably expand that list a little bit. So, and then I'll still go back to the issue with the buffer and the open space percentages. Why we make them greater than for rental units than we would for anything else?
Well, the reason for that is not because they're rental units.
I know.
It's because
size,
height, and density.
That's right. Well, that's right.
Because you're getting additional height. It's 42.
Right.
You're going up to 52.
52 because of the additional height. All right. Well, how about this? What if you said, if you had two options there, one if you were going with buildings that were more than 42 and something else with less than 42 or less,
yeah.
You know, if it's, I get why you're doing it now.
Because that tracks actually what's in the RPC.
I understand, I know it does, and that's what I'm saying, but that would at least give them that flexibility. As well, so
Well, we can come back with proposals on language for that stuff, you know, if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, I don't think we're ready, I'm not ready to vote necessarily.
Any more discussion, questions, or? So make a motion to close the record and defer for further consideration.
Go.
A second.
Moved and seconded to close the record and defer action on the ordinance to amend the code of Sussex County, Chapter 72, Article 2, so on and so forth, as previously read into the record. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, our next item is subdivision 2021-30, Independence Phase 13.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2021-30 for Independence Phase 13 for a cluster subdivision based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is seeking approval of a 36-lot clustered subdivision within the AR1 zone. It is adjacent to the existing Independence development, and it will share amenities and roadways with that development. Two, the proposed subdivision will have no more than 36 lots on 19.278 acres. This results in a density of approximately 1.8 lots per acre on this land, which is less than the maximum density permitted in the AR1 zone. The overall density of Independence only increases from 1.37 lots per acre to 1.39 lots per acre as a result of this expansion. Three, this subdivision is 5.791 acres, or 30% of the site as open space. Four, this expansion of the Independence development will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring property or area roadways. It's also consistent with other residential development in that area. Five, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code, and the applicant has favorably addressed the requirements of Section 99-9C of the code. Six, I'm satisfied that this project is a superior design to a standard subdivision as required by the cluster ordinance. For example, it provides for the preservation of at least 30% of the site as open space. There's an enhanced buffering between lots in this subdivision and the existing lots next to it, and nearly all lots have different access to open space. Seven, the project will be served by central water and sewer. Eight, the development complies with Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a low-density single-family dwelling subdivision. Nine, this preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 36 lots within the subdivision. This subdivision shall be integrated into the Independence subdivision. B, the lot owners shall be members of the Independence HOA responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. D, during construction, all vehicles and equipment associated with the construction of the development shall only utilize a construction entrance from Harmon's Hill Road. Signage in English and Spanish shall be placed on the boundaries of this site prohibiting construction equipment and vehicles from utilizing the existing Independence roadways and clearly identifying the construction entrance on Harmon's Hill Road. No site work or construction activities shall occur on the site until DLDOT issues its approval for this construction entrance. E, once developed, the vehicular entrance to this site shall be via the existing internal roadways of Independence. F, a forested or landscape buffer of at least 20 feet in depth shall be installed along the entire perimeter of the project. This buffer shall be expanded to 30 feet in the areas shown at this dimension on the preliminary site plat presented to the commission during the public hearing. This buffer area may include existing vegetation. G, as proffered by the applicant, sidewalks shall be installed on at least one side of the streets in the site. H, the subdivision shall be served by a central water system. I, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. J, street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County standards. K, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County. L, construction activities and deliveries of dirt, fill, or construction materials shall only occur between 7 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturday. No Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction.
M, all debris, dirt, concrete, asphalt, construction, trash, and other materials related to work or construction occurring on this site shall only be stored on this site. None of it shall be transported to or stored within the adjacent Independence development. N, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan for the development showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design, including the buffer areas. O, the final site plan shall contain a grading plan for the site. No building permit shall be issued for individual lots until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied to and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the Building Code Department demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. P, a revised preliminary site plan either depicting or noting these conditions shall be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. Q, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2021-30 Independence Phase 13 with the conditions stated in the motion. And we'll call the roll for the vote. Ms. Hoey Stevenson, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reason stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins?
Yes, for the reason stated in the motion.
Okay, Ms. Wingate?
Before I vote, Mr. Chair, I need to just state that I have gone through all of the public hearings online since I was not able to be in this public hearing.
And you feel that you're qualified
to vote? Yes, I do. Thank you. And I vote yes for the reason stated in the motion.
Okay, and the chair votes yes for the reason stated in the motion. The motion carries 4-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just before we go on, just one comment I'd make for the commission's benefit and the public's. Condition O on here was about the grading plan and the individual lot grading plans. That actually is something that's already in our code. Our county engineering department, in conjunction with planning and zoning, just have asked more recently, and you've seen it before, for that to actually appear in the conditions, just so it sort of puts everybody on notice about that. So that's why, that's not an additional requirement.
It's in the code already. Yeah. Right. Thank you. Our next item is subdivision 2021-33, Workman's Crossing Phase 2.
Ms. Wingate, would you like me to read your motion on this
one? Thank
you. You're welcome. Mr. Chairman, this is Ms. Wingate's motion, and it is that she wishes to grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2021-33 for Workman's Crossing Phase 2. Based upon the record and for the following reasons, the proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. In addition, the items listed in Section 99-9C of the subdivision code have been favorably addressed. Two, the land is zoned AR1, which permits low-density single-family residential development. The proposed subdivision density of three lots on 7.66 acres of land is significantly less than the allowable density. Three, the proposed subdivision will be consistent with the area and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Four, the proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities. Five, the proposed subdivision will not adversely affect traffic on area roadways. Six, although the applicant has sought waivers from the buffer and topography requirements, these waivers are denied based upon the location of the subdivision and to protect the existing lots that surround it. Seven, this preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than three lots within the subdivision. B, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. C, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. D, there shall be a 20-foot wide landscape buffer around the perimeter of the subdivision. This buffer and the landscaping within it shall be shown on the final site plan. This buffer area can be located within the individual lots, but the restrictive covenants and final site plan for the subdivision must state that it must be maintained by the lot owners in perpetuity, and E, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County.
That's my motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2021-33, Workman's Crossing Phase 2, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'm sorry. Call the roll.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's hard to get used to. Okay. Ms. Hoey Stevenson.
Yes, for the reason stated.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins.
Yes, for the reason stated.
Ms. Wingate.
Yes, for the reason stated.
And the chair votes yes for the reason stated. The motion carries 4-0. Our next item is conditional use number 2298, Freeman Solar LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I'm hearing all you all. It sounds like everybody up here has got allergies of some sort. Mr. Hopkins, for the same reason, the has asked me to read this one as well. So, and Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hopkins' motion is I move that we recommend, or he moves that we recommend, approval of conditional use number 2298 for Freeman Solar LLC for a solar farm in the AR1, GR, and MR districts based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed facility is a public utility use under the Sussex County Zoning Code, and it meets the purposes of a conditional use because it has a public or semi-public character that is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County residents. Two, the properties currently GR, MR, and AR1. The surrounding properties in Sussex County contain these same three zoning classifications as well as HI, which is Heavy Industrial District. The adjacent properties within the municipal limits of the city of Milford are within the city's C3 Highway Commercial District and R3 Garden Apartment and Townhouse District. The adjacent properties are used for agricultural purposes, residential purposes, utilities such as a substation, refuse and recycling, which is the DWSA, Milford Transfer Station, and Fitzgerald Salvage and Recycling, and other agricultural or commercial uses such as Milford Grain Company. These zonings and uses are consistent with the proposed solar farm. Three, the proposed facility promotes goal 7.3 of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, which encourages the use of renewable energy options such as solar farms. Four, with the conditions imposed on this recommendation, the proposed use will not have any adverse impact on the neighboring or adjacent properties. Five, the proposed solar generation facility will not result in any noticeable increase in traffic on adjacent or neighboring roadways. There are no regular employees at the site, only periodic visits for inspections, maintenance, or repair of the solar panels. As a result, DelDOT has determined that the traffic impact of this use will be diminutive. Six, no significant noise, dust, or odor will be generated at this facility. Seven, there will be a buffer to screen the view of the solar farm from the nearby residential properties while allowing the solar arrays to function properly. Eight, the proposed use provides a renewable energy source that is a benefit to the residents and businesses of Sussex County. And nine, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, no storage facilities shall be constructed on the site. B, lighting on the facility shall only consist of perimeter lighting needed for security purposes. All lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. C, one unlighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted. D, the site shall be secured by fencing with a gate with a Knox box or similar device to accommodate emergency access by the local fire company or other emergency responders. The fence line shall be shown on the final site plan. E, any transformers or similar equipment other than the proposed substation adjacent to Delaware Power DPNL substation shall be centrally located on the site away from any nearby residential uses. Five, all the grounds, including the area outside the fence, shall be maintained so that they do not become overgrown. G, stormwater management and erosion and sedimentation control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. These facilities shall be operated in a manner that is consistent with best management practices. H, the final site plan shall include the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. I, the site's boundaries that are immediately adjacent to residential uses will have a buffer planted and maintained in such a manner as to screen the view of the solar farm from the residential properties while allowing the solar arrays to function properly. This buffer and the landscaping within it shall be shown on the final site plan. J, there are wetlands located on the property which have been delineated. The solar field shall stay a minimum of 25 feet from the delineated wetlands. And lastly, K, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2298 Freeman Solar LLC for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry. Daggone it. One of these days I'll get used to this. All right. Ms. Hoy Stevenson.
Yes, for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins.
Yes, for the reasons stated in the motion.
Ms. Wingate.
Yes, for the reasons stated in the motion.
And the chairman votes yes for the reasons stated in the motion. Thank you. Motion carries 4-0.
How long has it been since you did roll call?
Well, we just started doing roll call, what, in the last few months, yeah. Last couple of months?
Or that, no, I mean since you previously.
Oh, 24 years probably.
So it's been no roll call 24 years.
But was it before that, though? I can't recall if it
was. The only time that a roll call would be done is often it would be done after a voice vote if you couldn't tell. Jack would call the roll. And we have done that on occasion as well. But It was not the standard practice until recently.
To your point, I don't know that it's ever been done, you know, so.
Yeah, until recently, and it has been hard to get used to, I tell you. So I beg your pardon, so I'll try to do better. Our next item is a conditional use number 2363, Laurel Wesleyan Church in care of Reverend M. Scott Kahn.
Ms. Wingate, I'll read this one as well, as you asked me to do. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Wingate moves that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2363 for the Laurel Wesleyan Church care of Reverend M. Scott Kahn to allow an on-premise electronic message center sign based on the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, this is an application for conditional use to install an on-premises electronic message display sign. This type of application is permitted under section 115-161.1A3 of the zoning code. The sign will be used to display information about the Laurel Wesleyan Church and its activities. The church occupies the site where the sign is located. Three, the sign will replace a prior static display sign on the site. Four, the sign will be required to comply with all the sign regulations in the zoning code, including brightness and motion. Five, the sign will not adversely affect neighboring properties or area roadways and traffic. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. And seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions, they being A, the electronic message display area shall not exceed 32 square feet in size per side, and B, a final site plan showing the location of the sign on the site shall be submitted to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission for approval.
That's my motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2363, Laurel Wesleyan Church, care of Reverend M. Scott Kahn. Ms. Holly Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for reasons stated and because, you know, you don't want to mess with Jesus. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins?
Yes. Vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay. Ms. Wingate?
Yes for the reasons stated.
Okay. And the chair votes yes for the reasons stated. The motion carries 4-0. Thank you.